We're here for good. Do you believe that? Like, I believe it's a legitimate question to ask yourself this morning, and especially as in we're in the midst of this part two of the capital campaign. Do you really believe that God has put us here for good? Not just for us, not just to be here as Christians, to exist in the blessing of God, but actually to be good for people, to be good for the community, and to be good for the future. Do you believe that we are here for good? I think it's a fundamental question as you think about your place in God's church, here, in this body. And I've been thinking about something recently, that if you want to get more out of something, you need to get more into it. And this is true in every aspect of our life. You're driving with your dad and you hear a song that's on his playlist and you say, oh, I'm going to add that song to my playlist because I really like the beat. And then you listen to that song over and over and over and over again so that you actually know the song better than he does, and you're memorizing the words and the lyrics and you know. Or there's a show that you're watching. And man, you really love this show, so you watch the episode over and over on repeat, and then you watch the director talk about the show, and then you read the reviews about the show, and then you're listening to podcasts that are talking about the show because you just can't get enough of this show. And you want to learn how to be better at something that you're interested in doing, and so you practice, and you go outside, and you practice, and you keep practicing over and over and over and over and over and over until it is natural for you to do the thing you want to do. Or you see this woman who is so beautiful that you want to spend the rest of your life with, and so you do whatever it takes to get into her presence more often and just over and over keep appearing in her orbit, keep existing in her life. If you want to get more out of something, you want to get more into it. And man, that is true about our faith walk. Man, following Jesus is revealed in this. Because if you want to get more out of following Jesus, you've got to get more into it. You've got to give yourself to Jesus in the way that he invites you to do so. And so today we're going to have a little bit of an opportunity to reflect on how we as God's followers are good for people when we live out of faithfulness in the gifts he's given. To help us, we're going to open up Romans chapter 12, which is on page 1763 of the Bibles in front of you, but it's also on your phone in every language and tongue. And so wherever you find it best to open it up and read, I'd invite you to do so, because Paul has some powerful words for you and me as we gather together 2,000 years later in a language he never imagined would exist in the world. Paul writes and he says, and so, kind of in the fullness of everything I've written so far, 11 chapters as we've organized it, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, please give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable, because this is truly the way to worship him. And against this, Paul sets up the ways of the world, and he says, do not copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into the new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And you might say, but the things in my life are not good or pleasing or perfect. I'm experiencing situations which are not good or pleasing or perfect. God has made you a promise that all things are not good, but he is working for your good in all things. And God gives all things to us by
his grace. Every gift we have in our lives comes down from our Father in heaven as a gift for you and me, that we receive every gift from him by faith, so that it is completely level. There is no one to stand up and say, I am the best, I am the most loved, I'm the most worthy to receive from God. No, we all receive by faith. Paul even tells us in the very next verse, because of the privilege and the authority God has given me, I give you this warning. Do not think you are better than you really are. Take a hard look in the mirror and have an appropriate self-evaluation. Be honest. And then measure your faith not by your performance, not by how much you've done or will do, but by faith that God has given us. Because you're not valued by your contribution. You're valued by your confession. And the reality is that when we're walking as Christians, when we're walking as disciples of Jesus, when we're trying to follow our Savior and do what he does, God's mercy doesn't automatically produce obedience. Now, certainly, there have been times where, full of the Holy Spirit, somebody has come into a relationship with Jesus and he or she was an addict. He or she lived in a way that was totally against the way God lives, and God transformed that person immediately and they lived a new life. But for me, and maybe for you, God's mercy has been an invitation to obedience over and over and over. And I'm thankful for the grace that I receive by faith. Another way of saying it was spoken by St. Augustine in about the 4th century. He said, without God, we can't. But without us, God won't. And so there are good works that our Father in heaven has prepared in advance for you. He has put everything in place. He has organized every step along the way so that you would have the ability to walk in the good works he's prepared. And not just you individually, but us, we as a body. We who are gathered by Christ Jesus into his body. Paul says in verse 4, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. So it is with you and me. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. I believe this is revealed that relationships are the way lives are changed. That we as one body, we celebrate together when one is celebrating, and we grieve together when one is grieving, all of us together. And Paul says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And all of you have lifted up a hallelujah this morning. Thanks be to God that Matt was not on the keyboard. You are giving thanks that Matt was not strumming the guitar or banging on the drums. Thank God that we have those who are gifted like Dee Dee, like Corey, like McGuire, like you, with certain gifts to do the things God has called us to do. Don't be doing the things God has not called you to do. Let people who are good at those things do those things. But God has given you gifts by the power of his Spirit. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If God has given you the gift of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging.
If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously.
And if you have a gift for showing kindness, do it gladly.
It was about a year ago, I began asking a question, where is the best place for me to be? Because it was about a year ago that I was actually here for the first time with my family, visiting as part of the call process. Where you all looked at me and the way I spoke and the way that I acted, and you're like, should we invite him to be with us full time? Are we sure? And then I got to think the same thing. Where's the best place for me to be? Where's the best place for my marriage to thrive? Where's the best place for my kids to have encouragement and support? Where's the best place for me to be? And through prayer and through deliberation and affirmed by the last year of activity, I can tell you this morning, the best place for me to be is here. Because I believe, thank you, I believe God has made faith a place that's good for people. Yes, absolutely good for me individually. It is a blessing to be here with the team we have and the staff we have and the volunteers we have, but it's also good for me as a husband with a wife who is here, as a father with children who are here, encouraged every step of the way by those faithful people who serve in NextGen, who faithfully serve in our men's ministry and women's ministry, who faithfully serve all across the campus and beyond. And the best place for me to be is with my wife and with my kids and with my family. To be here with you. That's why I believe the writer of Hebrews tells us, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Do you see the day drawing near? The early church lived their lives as if Christ was going to return before the sermon ended, before the week was over, before their lives were over. They gave everything all the time, everywhere. Because they recognize when we stir one another up, our people are blessed by good works. A kind of amazing thing happened this week as I was reading through our 15-day prayer devotional that Dave mentioned before the message. I came to something in the reading on day 7 where the title was Joyful and Cheerful, and I said, man, the Holy Spirit really prepared something in advance for me to walk in, because I was wondering how we could, as people who are gathered here at Faith, express the thankfulness that we have for everyone who makes it possible. And I had sent out a request to our staff, and I said, hey, all of you on staff, I would love for you to email me back with just words of affirmation for the faithful people who volunteer in your ministry, who serve alongside of you. And I'm opening up this devotional, and I'm reading from where Pastor Joe picked the verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. If you want more out of something, you've got to put more into something. For you and me, that seed in the ground, we are planting God's word in the hearts of people, and we are watering that word. And it's not you or me who gives the growth, but it's God who gives the growth. And each of you, Paul says, should do what you've decided in your heart and give in that way, not reluctantly or under compulsion. I'm not going to hold you hostage today until you've given a big check. I will stop preaching before the Lions game at 1 p.m. This is not a negotiation. This is you.
giving joyfully to God because God loves a cheerful giver.
And God,
God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God has never asked you to give what he hasn't given to you first. God is never asking you to serve with a gift he hasn't provided you to use. He wants, in the fullness of your joy, for you to step into the life that he has prepared for you, to do the good works that he has put in place every step of the way. And God loves a cheerful giver because God was a cheerful giver first, giving everything for you and me, that by the death and resurrection of his son, you and I might die to sin and live to Christ. And so in the devotional, Pastor Joe wrote, joy grows where gratitude is practiced, faithfulness is remembered, and impact is made visible. And where, but in the local church, is that impact more visible? Where through the faithfulness of the men and women, all of the people who call faith home, is given. And there is an action step in yesterday's devotional. It says, write a short note to someone on staff or a volunteer who has served you generously. And Pastor Joe wrote that invitation months before I made the invitation to our staff to do the same. And I did not pre-do my homework. I did not do in advance the devotional from yesterday. And yet the attitude that gratitude grows generosity is true, and it's something I want to encourage you to think about this morning. And so over the next about 10 minutes, I'm going to share with you some of the things that our staff is thankful for in our church. Because you are the body of Christ. And everything that I'm about to share with you is spoken about you, because each one of you individually are members of the body of Christ. And what is true about one is true about all. What's true about all is true about you. And as you're hearing these words, I want you to consider the giftedness that God has given to you, the ways that he has prepared your heart to serve or to love. With your bulletin this morning, we gave you a little note card that says good for people. You can fill out a thank you for somebody that you've noticed and recognized, and after the service, you can just give it to them and say thank you. You are good for people. And so some examples. These ladies are two of the hardest working women I know. I don't even have to ask them to do certain things. They anticipate what needs to be done before I ask them. They've supported me as a leader and have always showed me so much kindness and love. They always go above and beyond. If something needs to be cleaned, they clean it, even if it wasn't something our ministries even used. They actively look for ways to make my job easier and ways to contribute as much as they can to our community here. They take their roles as volunteers seriously. I've learned so much from both of them, and I'm honored to work with such amazing volunteers. Because of the passion this man has to use his practical skills to serve the church, he's freed me up to be able to focus on other aspects of my job and, more importantly, my family. I can pass things over to him with complete confidence that it'll be done. It'll be done with a level of excellence that I could never achieve solo. Working with him's not only been a blessing to my work and family life, but also has been a tangible reminder of what Paul meant in 1 Corinthians 12 when he described the church as a body with many parts, whose variety of giftings served to further the mission of Jesus to love his church and the whole world. She has served above and beyond for more than 20 years. This is you. Decades of faithful love from God for others. He brings the energy to his small group. He knows how to love these kids. I have somebody on our team who's really gone above and beyond to help through new challenges. She's done it all with a positive attitude. The joy she finds in her work is contagious. We're blessed by this married couple who passionately serve our community and beyond together and independently. They are the light of Jesus to their family and friends. She always has a helpful hand and a kind word of encouragement to improve our flower bed. She chooses to serve here with her scholarly education. Each year, she seems to take on a little bit more. He arrives with a quiet joy to serve. He reminds me of Mr. Rogers, who loved his neighbors like a forever friend. And someone you know would stop whatever he's doing and lift up others in need before himself. He is full of Jesus. This is you. He is dedicated to making sure any special project or set builds are created with excellence. His eyes for small details have made a great impact, and I'm grateful to serve and learn alongside of him. You could not ask for more from a small group leader. They provide an easy place to laugh and connect and form friendships. They host not only at Faith, but in their home, and they share their lives and the gospel. He always collaborates with kindness. And as a team player, even while having significant knowledge and more experience than anyone else in the room, I'm grateful he models such humility and professionalism. They bring their ideas to contribute to what we're doing in our student ministry. So they don't only care and show up and are there for the students to have conversations so that point kids to Jesus. They think critically about our environment and the things we're doing and the way we're doing things to help it be a better experience for anyone who walks through our doors. He often asks, "What can I do?" This simple question's led to so many new opportunities that have improved operations year after year. Wherever her hands touch, our grounds and our garden beds become a beautiful, welcoming view for all. I'm so grateful for her stepping into the moment when she felt ready to serve. Her sincere heart is irreplaceable. He's the person who will chase down any big, complicated question or problem and build a PowerPoint to show solutions. She sets a beautiful table for our women to enjoy and loves all of us dearly. Her smile and her prayers are a huge blessing to our Bible study. His heart is to serve the church. From kids to adults to seniors, improving their experience is what drives his desire to come in every week and help everywhere. She changes diapers. So many diapers. She's always the first to volunteer to take the least rewarding job in the nursery. I had to give him a budget because of all the areas he wanted to improve our irrigation plans. This is usually not such a wonderful problem, that volunteers become so closely involved that they're nearly an organizational partner. She shows up faithfully, joyfully welcoming each and every mom. She intentionally reaches out to new moms. We are so thankful for her. He's improved our systems and plans and saves the church money every year. We haven't needed help in this area because he loves our church and loves this place as a family. She always makes sure our kitchen is ready and clean for whatever the next event might be. Her behind-the-scenes service blesses everyone. They are someone who makes our church a great place to be. They don't have to be with us on Wednesdays. They have enough going on, but they choose and have chosen the last 4 years to stick with their group when they've been crazy and when they've been calm. And the group has been more crazy than calm. Someone who's beyond expectation. They'll give of their time and their energy and their care, and then give some more when a student needs to talk. And to be clear, when a student needs to talk, 90% of the time, it's something serious and heavy. It's not easy. But they give of themselves and stay and give the ministry of presence to whomever they're with, which is a really powerful thing. Our facility wouldn't look nearly as good and function properly without these guys. They give of themselves often weekly to help take care of our building and our grounds, and they help us with regular maintenance and many of our honey-do list items that need attention. They allow God to use their expertise to benefit our church. They're always helpful and thoughtful of others. They not only volunteer at events we host that impact so many people, they actually run some of the events themselves, and we just get to help them out. And every week, she gets up before the sun, prepares a hot and fresh breakfast for tired moms in the throes of raising young kids. Her love of serving this group week in and week out is incredible. A young man who grew up in the student ministry, going on all of our mission trips to West Virginia and Mexico, and always watched the older men help volunteer their time and their talents so that we can help people in need in whatever area we work in. Now he regularly comes in and volunteers to help on our building, or with someone who might have a need in their home that he can address. This is you. This is your body. A couple who was very unsure about leading a small group opened up their home, and over the past 2 years, this group has formed great friendships and have grown in their faith together. And she works tirelessly to make sure unsure littles not only stop crying, but enjoy their time in the nursery so that parents can hear the sermon. This leader has loved them and led them through a lot and watched them grow with intentionality because of their care for them. They show up every week to care, listen, and love the people in their group. They show Jesus' love through their words and actions faithfully. Her love for the church and serving is making sure every tablecloth is cleaned and beautifully folded, ready for its next ministry use. Her labor of love behind the scenes does not go unnoticed by anyone here on the staff. I'm so thankful for him and all he gives of himself for the benefit of others here at our church and beyond. Whether it be here on our campus or on a mission trip, he's always thinking about what can make someone else's experience better with whatever it is we're doing. He doesn't want anyone to feel left out, so he goes out of his way to make sure they are included. And maybe my favorite. A woman on the hospitality team noticed that a man sits alone every week and was really struggling. She approached him and asked what was going on. He shared about his brother who was very sick and in the hospital and possibly dying, and she prayed with him in that moment and then was able to get one of our pastors to visit the man's brother in the hospital before he died. And he professed Jesus as his Savior before he passed. every single one of these people wanted more from their church. Every single one of these people wanted more from what God had given them. And so they gave more from what they'd been given. If you want to get more out of something, you got to get more into it. So this morning, if it's been working in your heart that there is someone you just want to say thank you to and love, I'd invite you to write that note to them. And if there's a way that you're inspired to use the gifts that God has given to step into a role here to bless others, I'd invite you to do that. Because God is good for us. He is so, so good for us. May we be good for people. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given us everything, all that we need in this body and life, and you have given us salvation through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus, and because he has ascended into heaven, he is able to give us all a helper, his Holy Spirit, whom you sent to dwell in us, that through the washing of the water and the word, we might receive a holy gift. Father, we joyfully open it. We receive it from you so that we might share it with others. All of this we pray through the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.